campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
And you're back with the Culture Club. The time is 5:20. So now we've got Selena talking about the tin cat on the roof.
Not quite. The cat on a hot tin roof.
Close. That wasn't even close. Oh my gosh. Okay, go for it. I think you should take over.
Yeah, so I went to see A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams on Thursday, I think it was, at the Savoy Cinema. It was another, like, broadcast thing. Not sure where it was broadcasted from, but it was, like, a production. Don't think it was live either this time, which is a bit different from last week. But it was, like, a modern adaptation directed by Benedict Andrews, and it had Sienna Miller in it as, like, one of the main characters. And I can't remember the guy's name, but it's basically about this, like, couple who are very, like, sexually frustrated with one another, essentially. That's what it all boils down to. And it's the night of the male's father's birthday, so it's, like, a massive celebration and stuff. But everything's, like, all the action actually takes place in their bedroom. So, like, I don't know if that sounds really weird, doesn't it? Not quite like that. Although in saying that, the first thing you see is, like, him just having a shower, like, fully exposed on the stage. So I guess that is quite unexpected. And he actually, like, I was reading something he said in an interview beforehand. He said the thing he was most worried about was, like, he had to put his towel on after having a shower, but he's also on a crutch, so he's like hopping around stage with literally just a towel. And he said he's just, like, for the first half of the play, terrified that it's just gonna, like, fall off in front of everyone. So that in itself must be, like, I have to say, like, good, like, hats off to them, because there's a lot of, like, nudity and stuff, and they just, like, take it on the chin. Like, they're so confident with it. Like, I don't know how I would have done that. But yeah, like, basically, back to the story. There's basically these two characters, like, in a relationship. The father's having his birthday. He is diagnosed with cancer, but nobody actually knows this apart from the main character until the end of the play. So they're basically pretending that he's well. He's been, like, he's had tests and stuff, but none of them have come back, like, positive or anything, so it's all great. But then at the end of the play, it comes out that actually, yeah, he's dying and stuff. And there's a bit of a, like, family rivalry between who will, like, earn, like, who the wealth will pass down to. So you have this one family which you just immediately hate, because they're, like, the ideal family with, like, the kids and stuff who are all dressed in, like, matching costumes and things like that, singing, dancing. And then you've got this couple which are just dysfunctional, like, they hate each other, but you, like, you kind of want them to, like, get the money at the end of the day. You sort of warm to them. And it's basically set in this, like, room, as I said, and he's a very, like, he's basically an alcoholic, this guy, and he's very depressed and stuff. And it comes out that the reason is because he blames himself, like, one of his friend's deaths. And it's a bit, like, ambiguous as to whether this friend was, like, they were actually, like, sexually, like, in a relationship and stuff, or whether they were just friends and he keeps denying it and stuff. But you never really, like, know 100%. And I just think, even now, like, that idea is only just, like, obviously you have all these things nowadays about pushing, like, same-sex marriage and things like that. So for this to have been written by Tennessee Williams, I think it was, like, 62 years ago, I feel like he was very much ahead of his time, yeah, to be talking about issues like that long ago. And I think that's something that, like, hit quite hard as well, how even now it's still seen as, like, an issue, but then they were writing about it back then and it was an issue, but even now it's not getting 100% resolved. It just seems like it's such a long go and struggle, like, for over 60 years. Like, I didn't realise that it was that older play. It felt quite modern. It wasn't until I looked it up after and did some research, and I was like, whoa, like, this is actually quite, and, like, written quite a long time ago. And even the idea about the family rivalry and stuff, like, the themes are still pretty relevant. And I just think he was, like, definitely, like, a modern writer for his time. So I think in that sense the play was really interesting. And also it's very much dealing with things about, like, lies and deceit, but also how you, like, lie to yourself more than anyone else. So no matter how anyone else, like, deceives you and stuff, you're basically the one who can deceive yourself more than any other person around you. So yeah, it was quite, like, quite a miserable play in a way. It's quite sad. It came out a little bit, like, all depressed and stuff. But yeah, no, it was really good. I just have to say, like, their accents, I don't know if I have a right to get, like, aggravated by this, but they were, like, such a thick, like, American drawl and stuff. And it really got on my nerves. And I know that's awful to say, because I'm American
such
myself.
A British
thing
to say.
But I'm American myself, but I don't have an accent. And I was like, I can't really say that. But actually, it was so thick. And it was, like, the characters, like, the mum and dad are called, like, Big Daddy and Big Mama. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was, like, constant. And I was like, I just want to, like, punch them by the end of it. I was like, this is really getting on my nerves. And it was just, like the recurring theme of, like, the idyllic family and stuff, and they were all, like, sucking up to the father, like, oh, we've treated you so well, we deserve your money and stuff like this. And yeah, everyone else around me seemed to be really enjoying it, but towards the end I was getting a little bit frustrated with the entire thing, despite it being, like, a well-written play. And it's not really their fault if, like, that's how they're meant to act it out. Like, they definitely did their characters full justice. But yeah, and also another thing I found quite interesting is, like, the first act, there was literally just the interaction between this couple, and the party was, like, going on downstairs, so you're sort of aware of it happening, but, like, it never really featured. And then in the second half, it was mainly between the father and the son. So again, even though the party was going on, it never really featured. And even though that was quite good, because it meant, like, everything that was being spoken about was sort of brought to light and you couldn't really hide from it, I also thought in a way it sort of, like, made the play feel quite long at times, especially the second half. Like, I think it was getting on for a 2-hour half, whereas the first half was really short. And I think towards the end of it, I was like, it seemed a little bit drawn out. Like, you
two
think it's the end.
Quite a lot,
yeah, that's the thing. And I think because the first half was so short, so, like, by the interval, you're like, whoa, that went quick. Mm. And then you get towards, like, the second half in about an hour, and you're like, okay, when's this going to end? And it kept feeling like it was the end, and then another person would come on stage, and, like, the dialogue would continue and stuff like that. And you just thought, oh, gosh. And then I think because of that, when it all, like, the climax came out that actually, yeah, he had got cancer and he was dying and stuff, it sort of didn't feel like that much of a shock, because you sort of saw it coming for, like, so long. Mm. And I'm not sure if that's just because of the way they decided to direct it, or if that's just how, like, Williams, like, did the script in itself. So that's the only thing I'd say. And I heard a lot of people around me, like, commenting, like, oh, gosh, that was a little bit long. So I don't think I'm the only one who thought it. But then other people, like, absolutely loved it. So I feel like it's, like, split people in terms of, like, opinions after. Because even though it was, like, a really good scripts and stuff, if you're sitting there sort of looking at your watch and things, I always think, if I look at my watch, like, how much am I really enjoying it?
Tennessee Williams does tend to, like, write epics, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, Streetcars by Tennessee Williams,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think a lot of people did that for, like, A-level GCSE, yeah. But since I did that at GCSE, I think, but I hadn't heard of this one before.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd quite like it, because I remember liking Streetcar and Into
Desire,
but
it's one of my, I haven't actually seen the play, but it's one of my favourite films.
Oh, really? I've not seen the film.
What,
before.
Streetcar Named Desire?
Yeah.
I tried to get into the film. I couldn't stay concentrated.
I just am in love with Marlon Brando.
I know.
And it's because he plays the most,
I put it on.
Yeah, he plays the most awful, like, heinous character, but I'm like, I love him. Mm. Which is kind of my approach to men as well.
Yeah, see, I did it for my A-level coursework, so I know Streetcar Named Desire quite well, and I think Tennessee Williams is kind of, he has won a lot of awards for his work, but then I think he is quite alternative in the way he does
things. In my head, Tennessee Williams was a woman. I don't know why. I feel like the name Tennessee just seems really feminine to me.
Yeah, like Cardi B.
Like Cardi B.
I don't know.
No, not quite.
No, you know,
Tennessee, Cardi B.
It's because this is a really big divergence. That's it, yeah. But her sister's called Hennessy. Hennessy?
Yeah.
Cardi B,
Hennessy and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nice wife. I like
what,
that.
Is there three of them?
No, no,
it?
But like her
yeah,
sister.
Tennessee Williams is actually Cardi B's long-lost
no.
sister. They were separated at birth and in different time periods.
You know what I mean? I thought that she had a sister that was called Tennessee.
Her sister actually went back in time and got stuck, and then she's just been separated from her.
What are we even going on about? The same name, Freya.
Sorry, we digress.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything. I mean, just like drawing on the idea again, like obviously being broadcasted through a cinema. Last week I said, oh yeah, that didn't really matter. Like, the atmosphere is still great. This week I thought it was a little bit lacking, which is what I was worried about last week, but then this week it sort of actually happened. Maybe I'm just being a little bit critical. Like, maybe it was incredible. Someone else might have come and gone, what are you on about?
I feel like it's harder for you to glean the... Was it on a screen? So you,
yeah, it was
so
like a cinema screen.
Yeah, so it's harder to kind of glean the shock from the nudity and stuff like that. Because if it was a person in front of you who was naked, you'd be like, oh my God.
And they sort of like tried to position the camera so that they were like hiding certain bits. But I sort of feel like if they directed it in a way that they wanted you to see everything, then you should in a way see it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason they've chosen to do that.
The bits and bobs are there for a reason. Exactly. And they should remain.
Why do you think they use that title? Does that have a...
Yeah.
I actually haven't got a clue. It came up a lot in the dialogue. Like, Sienna Miller saying, "I'm a cat on a hot tin roof." I think it's the idea of she's basically sticking with this guy who's an alcoholic and, like, no good. And she's, like, in pain for it. Like, she's suffering for it, but she decides to stay there. She's like, she'd rather stay on the roof than, like... He literally says to her, like, "Just leave me. Like, I don't even want to be with you. I don't love you or anything." And she's like, "Nah, I'd rather be a cat on a hot tin roof." So I guess it's just referring to that. But, like, at first you hate him, but, like, he's the one character towards the end you actually like, so... I think just, like, not many of the characters were likable, but I think that was the intention. So they did a good job, like, acting their roles.
I think those plays do tend to make you think a little bit. I don't know, I quite like that idea of a cat on a hot tin roof. I don't know, as an English student...
You like that idea, do you?
No, but
that's like, lovely, Ellie.
What's, you know, the...
The metaphor kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, the metaphor of it, I really like that.
Yeah, I think it's, like... definitely worth watching, or like probably watching more so than reading, and there is a film as well. I was thinking maybe I should have watched that maybe beforehand, so I knew what I was going to expect, but then you don't want to ruin the story for yourself
but then if you're going to see a play kind of thing, you want to see it for the first time kind of thing.
I wonder if it would be better then to have seen it in like, not reality, but in person rather than through a screen.
And I'm wondering, maybe they tried to modernize it, but maybe they should have just kept it, like, because certain aspects of it were still traditional, like the family layout and stuff, but then they tried to modernise it by being in a modern house and things, but actually it didn't quite work. There's a bit of a clash there. Maybe they should have just done it as the traditional play it was, and then maybe that would have made more sense.
So one time I went to see a modern version of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I saw what they were trying to do, but I was like, there's certain things that you can modernise, and there's certain things that are created so much within their time period that...
Yeah. Sometimes it's better just to leave it and do it well.
And also, especially with, like, Shakespeare, I always find it really difficult when they mod... It's like, you know the remake of Romeo and Juliet that Leonardo DiCaprio's in? Like, they modernise it, they use all the old language, and then, like, the kind of the contrast between the old language and then the modern day setting, like, it really puts me off.
That's exactly what this is like.
I liked that, but like when I saw the modern version of A Midsummer Night's Dream, I was like, this is just silly, because it's got fairies and stuff. It just doesn't make sense. And I feel like sometimes we're so concerned with modernising plays that actually we kind of lose the essence of the play. Which I can see with the whole Romeo and Juliet thing. Like, as much as I do really love that film, I think maybe I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to Shakespeare, but and like to Tennessee Williams as well.
Exactly, and I don't think you can necessarily modernise the language of Shakespeare, because then it'd be like the second She's the Man or something, which isn't necessarily a Shakespeare play, is it? But it is obviously based off of Shakespeare.
Yeah,
I don't know. For me, it was just a bit too incongruent. Can I use that word? Yeah,
it always is a bit of a danger, isn't it? With plays that have been around for a long time, and modern adaptation, you want to change it up and make it different.
It's quite interesting when they do, because there's like, it's been done so many times before.
It either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, definitely. But
it was like the version of A Midsummer Night's Dream I went to see. They had a food fight on stage, and I was just like, this is silly. Just, I don't care. Just stop it.
They're starting to change the script though. That's when.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's a bit dodgy.
I guess it's good to. Because new versions and like interpretations help you to think about the play in different ways and see different things you may not have seen before.
It definitely made me realise how dark A Midsummer Night's Dream is. Yeah. Like, you don't realise initially, but watching it more in, I guess, a more relatable context, it did kind of make me be like, ooh.
Perhaps that was probably like one of the aims of the play.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't all bad.
On that level, it would have worked, but then just on some levels, like, it obviously didn't. But you can kind of, I guess, argue that that's the same with any play.
Well, going back to The Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, like, was there a standout moment for you then, Selena? In particular?
I'd say the standout moment was actually, it wasn't like climatic or anything, but it's just when the father and son actually sat down to start talking properly, is because often men, especially like the father and son relationship, they chat but they don't say much, whereas it was when they actually just like sat down on the bed next to each other and they just started having a chat, and it wasn't necessarily when anything massive was revealed, but I feel like it was quite a nice little moment when you saw a shift from this alcoholic guy and this dad who didn't care to actually like there is a bond there, and that's when you start rooting for him more than anyone else in the play. So that's probably like my favourite bit, because it wasn't overdone, it was simple, but it was maybe more relatable, maybe more true to life than anything else in the play.
This is URN,
the Culture Show Breakdown.